Shapeless Mass Podcast. Podcast.shapelessmass.com.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
Yo.
Podcast, Masscast, thing, part two.
Number two,
episode two. To my right, our guest with the corona he doesn't like is DJ Richie Rich.
Hey, what's up?
Local talent from Augusta, Georgia.
And to my left, Sir Mildred Pierce.
Right, I'm Sir Mildred Pierce.
We
should also go ahead and introduce the website since it's online.
Yes, podcast.shapelessmass.com.
And for convenience, if you want to access this specific episode, you can go to podcast.shapelessmass.com/masscast002. And that'll take you right to the comments page if you want to leave comments, if you want to download the MP3 again.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Right. Okay, anyway, the scratching on the beginning of this episode was by none other than DJ Richie Rich, who's our guest. So.
I love him.
So, we've got a bunch of things we can delve into here and get right down to it.
How old is that corona, by the way?
like 2 days ago.
Did you?
What's wrong with it?
Look, those are imported from the finest Mexican urinals that they can find.
I want to drink that damn thing that kills me.
Huh?
So, I want to drink that damn thing
so you don't have it? Okay. It's an acquired taste.
Yeah. Acquired meaning shit, basically. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your DJing and how long you've been doing that?
I've been DJing in my bedroom for about, amongst other things.
sleeping?
In the mirror. I've probably been doing it for, 13 years.
13 years?
Yeah.
Since
as you can tell from the intro, he's really good.
Since elementary school. What was your first turntable?
So since you were two, basically.
I got my first turntables in 92.
What was that, the first turntable you scratched on?
No. I had one turntable in 89, and a mixer just like that one.
what he's talking about is we have this cheapo Radio Shack realistic mixer that we're using for all the mics. Well, this is the cheapest mixer they have at Radio Shack. You go and you say, I need a mixer. I got $20. They say, here you go. This one is actually.
They had one that had just four sliders on it.
I think everybody who's been doing it for a long time, at least since my bitches. I think everybody who's been doing it for at least 10 years probably started off on one of these Radio Shack mixers.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what we're talking about.
I think Sean was scratching that.
Yeah. Okay, as far as, you've been DJing for a long time, any major accomplishment? I love the story about you going to Jacksonville.
When did I go to Jacksonville?
You told me this awesome story about how you were DJing a show in Florida. I'm pretty sure you said Jacksonville. It might have been Orlando.
What happened was I was in Orlando, and I was club hopping in Orlando, going to different clubs, whatever, on the little strip they got. And I was walking down the sidewalk, and I heard one of my songs coming from out of a club across the street.
Oh, okay. That was cool.
I didn't actually go in the club.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, so I was walking down the street, and I heard like one of my songs come out. I was like, oh, shit. And the people I was with, they're DJs, too. They knew my stuff, and they're like, oh, they're playing your shit. I'm like, ah. That was cool.
Yeah. That's a measure of success right there, man. I mean,
well, that particular genre of music is popular like in Tampa and Orlando and like different little places in the southeast.
But I couldn't do that. I couldn't fly to, California and walk into some, coffee shop, trip-hop club and hear my shit playing. They wouldn't.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know.
You never know who's playing your stuff, because I heard the story about I heard an interview with Man Parrish right before Hip Hop Bebop came out. They said he went to some club, and they say, you know, they were playing his record. People were going crazy. He ran up to the DJ booth and was like, "Hey, where'd you get this?" And the guy was like, "You made this?" And he was like, "Yeah." And they took him down and signed him a record deal and fucked him over pretty good. But so you never know who's playing your stuff, man.
And who's going to fuck you over?
Oh, it's happened. I've been.
I know. Let's not talk about that. Name some of the artists you've actually, like, remixed or worked for and stuff like that.
I did something for Luke Skywalker, a.k.a. Luther Campbell. I did some stuff with Magic Mike, DJ Magic Mike. He's, like, old school. Legend when it comes to bass music. Also, I did something for Bass Mechanic, and he was...
Tears for Fears?
Yeah, but see, I did something for Tears for Fears. I did something for New Edition, but they were official remixes for them, but they never, like, came out. You know what I mean?
That's still pretty crazy that you work with Tears for Fears.
Can you tell us some of your influences? I mean, as far as music goes,
all the Rick Rubin stuff.
Yeah,
you know, of course. You know, all the what's that dude's name? Larry something, whatever. Whatever the guy produced the Run DMC's first couple albums, Larry Smith or whatever.
Oh, I need
to. There's all the old school stuff. You know, just like anybody else. Really into the Beastie Boys, really into Run DMC. And then when the whole bass thing came around, I got big into Magic Mike and all the Jock D, GLSJ stuff. That was like, yeah, I mean, all the a lot of stuff had a lot of scratching in it, more so than like hip hop at that time.
You were in the Magatron big too.
Yeah. Because he's a sample man. He's a sample all that shit, dude. And he put together, you know, all these collages of different, you know, like took German records and took all these.
He did the craziest thing he did too was that whole. That low voice, high voice rapping thing mm-hmm. you would do. Mm-hmm. We want those cuts that will bring you into a new dimension. You're like, what the fuck is that? That was like, I've never heard anything like that.
He actually had a name for those guys, but I forget what they were at this point.
But yeah. Nobody else did that either. Lots of people did some with voices, but nobody did that. And I'm pretty sure that was him doing those lyrics too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did those on Korg DVP.
Okay, so we're going to play Do That Dance by Raw Underground Productions, a.k.a. DJ Richie Rich and Smooth J.
Smooth J. And this is some of the new stuff.
Check it out.
I remember how it all began. I used to make dope beats for all my high school friends. These days, we still trying to make it happen. Man, it's white boy rapping. Got your hands clapping. We making music for the masses. All you females beat that got you shaking your asses. Everybody out in radio land, from the ATL all the way to Japan, they know we spit flows around the globe. Rocking shows like pros, man, everybody knows. We got a style you ain't never heard. We got a new flavor, 2 out of 3 preferred. Something new for your bass bends. All your ladies, bouncy ass while my record spins. Don't confuse it, we super produce it.
Oh yeah!
There ain't nothing like hip-hop music.
Come on, girl, and shake your ass. Drop it down, bring it back, now shake your ass. Sexy mama, gon' do that dance. I like the way your booty bounce in the 3-point stance. Come on, girl, shake your ass. Drop it down, bring it back, now shake your ass. Take it down to the flow, shake your booty, break it down, get low, get low.
Damn it, man, I told you I was hot, and this is how I rock, I got the instrumental on lock. Give me the mic, time to rip the spot. I do this non-stop, fool, I'm earning my props. I spit that flow, freestyle, fast or slow. Make them say ow, make them say ho. Make the girls take it off and bounce their butts. Smooth J and Daddy Rich all up in the cut. Producing fat tracks with the funk. These drums are bassin' and we getting it crunk. Tight verses got you up all night. Thinking of something funky, fresh to write. I blow up the show just like dynamite. You know that's right, yeah, I'm keeping it tight. The sound of the boom boom, tip with the clap. We sample the record and straight pull the jack.
Come on, girl, and shake your ass. Drop it down, bring it back, now shake your ass. Sexy mama, gon' do that dance. I like the way your booty bounce in the 3-point stance. Come on, girl, shake your ass. Drop it down, bring it back, now shake your ass. Take it down to the flow, shake your booty, break it down, get low, get low.
Girl, the way you dance, you got me elevated. And I admit, I'm a little intoxicated. But the club don't close for about another hour. And you're looking too sweet for things to go sour.
Girl, I got a friend. If you got a friend, we can take a little trip to the Holiday Inn. Safe sex is my only tactic. Let's stop at the store for a pack of prophylactics.
Oh yeah, cause you know that's word. Girl, I got a little piece of meat to serve. It's the double R and the S to the J, coming straight out of the A. Girl, what do you say?
Come on,
it's on now.
Let's turn it out. Get you naked on your knees, doggy style.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's get loose.
We toe on the floor with the juice and the goose.
Come on, girl, and shake your ass. Drop it down, bring it back. Now shake your ass. Sexy mama, gon' do that dance. I like the way your booty bounce in the 3-point stance. Come on, girl, shake your ass. Drop it down, bring it back, now shake it fast. Take it down to the flow, shake your booty, break it down, get low, get low.
So,
I really dig that.
Really?
Cool. I like it.
That was Do That Dance by Ronda Ground Productions.
I'm sorry.
Lyrics by DJ Richie Rich and Smooth J. What's up, Jay?
What up?
More familiar with your stuff as far as DJ work, not really the MC stuff. So, I haven't heard a lot of your MC stuff.
Oh,
I'm really impressed, man. Cool. Do you have a website, by the way? If you wanna...
It's surprisingly DJRichieRich.com.
I figured as much, but I want to get that out in the air.
Real quick, because I think it's really interesting the way that you made that song. It's kind of different from the rest of your songs. There's one particular thing about it that really sets it out apart.
True. All right. Basically, Smooth J, Josh, his grandmother had given him a duffel bag full of 45s. And we made that beat entirely from sounds off those 45s. So there are no sounds on that song that didn't come off of 45. So all the kicks, the snares, the bass lines, everything came off 45s.
And you can hear that.
It's really poppy and crackly, and we kind of kept it that way because we liked it.
Yeah, raw.
Yeah. Raw
underground. Productions. Bitch! No.
Yeah.
Just relax. It's fun.
So you want to go ahead and do the movie reviews?
Movie reviews for movies we've never seen.
So I'm going to go with this movie called Hoot. Carl Hyacin's book finally makes it to the big screen.
Finally!
Wherein a small group of Florida teens struggle to protect an endangered species of owl that is threatened by land developers who hope to bulldoze their habitat.
I'm already disappointed because I thought I was about a struggling voodoo waitress.
So, right off the merch is going to give it a bad review just because there's no titties.
No tits.
Damn. It's a kids movie, too, so there's probably not going to be tits.
It's got an owl. Which kind
of I mean, even the Lindsay Lohan, you know.
What rating is it? PG?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no tits in PG.
Oh, is Lindsay Lohan in it for real?
No, I'm talking about the Herbie and the Love Bug. They actually, like, digitally reduced her breasts.
Not much, though.
Well, I mean, it's Lindsay Lohan. Even if you digitally reduce them by half, they're still fucking huge.
It's a good movie.
I didn't go see that.
It's a good movie. Lindsay Lohan was in it.
Anyway. Hoot. I actually kind of wanted to see that because it's got one of the Owen brothers in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Owen brothers, come on, they've done some shitty movies outside.
Yeah, but every shitty movie they do, they are still good in it.
Charlie's Angels.
That really wasn't that bad.
I saw part two. I saw parts of that, and that was fucking awful. And one of the Owen brothers is
well, that movie's supposed to be awful though,
like intentionally. Whatever. So anyway, Hoot.
I am gonna give it 6 stars. It does slightly intrigue me. That 6 is yeah.
Yeah.
What's it about?
I'm gonna give it.
These kids try to save an owl habitat thing.
I'm gonna give it 3. The reason I'm gonna give it 3 is because isn't that whole movement kind of dead by now? I mean, that's a movie that's like 10 years too late.
Yeah, but kids don't know that.
It's like a modern day Free Willy or something.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Free Willy was what 10 years ago at least, 15, something like that.
I didn't go see that.
If you had to give it 1 to 10 stars based off what you know right now, you're gonna give it what?
Oh man.
No titties.
Maybe a 5. Maybe
I gave it about a 5 or 4.
Not for me. That's
fine. Okay. All right.
I have heard of this one. I mean, I think probably everybody's heard of this one because it's a remake. The Shaggy Dog.
Oh.
Dave Douglas, played by Tim Allen, is struggling to retain some sense of normalcy in his life. despite the fact that a shot he was recently given is causing him to morph into a sheepdog at random intervals. And yes, this is a remake of the 1959 Disney flick. The only thing I want to say about that is I've seen the movie posters for it, and what they did, I don't know if they do this in the movie, but it's a dog, but they morphed on, like, his eyes, and it's really
creepy. Yeah.
So I hope they do it in the movie, though. If they do that in the movie and it's just as creepy, I'm going to definitely give it a few extra stars.
I might like it
just
that.
For the creep factor.
The trailers for this made it look really good, but I didn't like the original Shaggy Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the 90s hip-hop version. The only redeeming factor, and it's not that I really kind of want to see. It's kind of more of this is kind of those one of those train wreck type things where you can't help but stare. But I'm tempted to give it 7 stars just because of the perspective that you might get to see Tim Allen dry humping somebody's leg. I don't know why. That seems hilarious to me. Not that I would get turned on by that or anything. But, I mean, it just, you know, that sounds like, you know, I don't know.
7.
7? For that alone?
Well, that's what you gave, right?
Yes.
I'm going to give it like 5, I think. I mean,
really? That's unusual that I give the higher rating than you.
I think that's unprecedented, actually.
Well, this is our second.
Except maybe X-Men. I think you might have given.
Oh, yeah.
I'd give it a 7. I might actually sit through it.
The thing is, I have a feeling it's probably more like a 3.
So, well, I mean, one preview where we had like his tongue fell out of his mouth or whatever, a big long tongue. So I know a lot of women would be going to see this movie.
It does seem like one of those movies that, like, they did a lot of the jokes just so they could do the special effects for them, and that kind of bothers me. Yeah. In fact, because of that, I'm going to knock it down to a 5.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it
5 stars.
At a 4.
Yeah. Just give it a 4. What do you give it?
I think I said 5.
Okay, all right. So we're pretty close on that one.
Well, here's one I haven't heard of. Okay. See No Evil. Sounds like a horror movie.
I haven't heard of this at all.
4 years ago, a police officer shot and supposedly killed hulking criminal Jacob Goodnight, pro wrestler Star Kane.
Oh, God.
In an abandoned hotel. Oh, no. That's good police work, by the way. No body, no paperwork. Now, a group of misfit teens are assigned with the task of cleaning up the hotel. But guess who's not dead?
Oh, wow. This is...
That sounds like a movie you'd like.
I don't know, man. The modern slasher films just don't have the heart that the old, like, Friday 13
was. Way too much, like, story to it.
Yeah, you know, the original Friday 13 movies, they were like, hey, you want to watch a bunch of teens get killed? Come on, you know? This movie's like...
show up at the camp, they start dying, and that's...
Immediately, like, within 5 minutes, the credits rolling.
Well, yeah, they should have saved the backstory for part 2, for sure.
Yeah, you know?
For part 7.
I mean... Oh, great. So we get to watch a movie of a bunch of nubile young teens getting bumped off one by one in creative new ways, which are probably aren't that creative or new. And I'm sure they've toned down the violence because the MPAA is a bunch of bastards. So, you know, I'm going to give that a 2. That's even being generous.
I'll give it a 2.
Wow, we agree for a change.
Well,
that's unusual.
I think I'm going to agree as well. Give it 2, 2, and 2.
It's just peer pressure at this point. Come on, cut loose, Rich. Give it. It probably has titties.
I doubt it, man.
3.
You never see titties in movies
That's
anymore.
That's true. You don't. What happened? You used to see full frontal nudity in movies, in horror films back in the 80s.
Hmm.
Not that I, you know, enjoy that type of thing. I do. I was just trying to sound like a modern, you know, respectful guy.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm available, by the way, ladies.
I enjoy a good titty every now and then. She's got 2 of them.
Hopefully. I mean,
or 3.
Back in the 80s, there were tits everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
You watch Eddie Murphy movie, like Trading Places. There's titties all over the place.
Jamie Lee Curtis titties.
Light titties, black titties.
You watch, like, the original Airplane movies? There's titties in that.
Yeah.
That movie's very PG. So, I don't know. Yes.
I give it a 2 because it's titty-less, probably.
Is that even a word?
It is now.
Okay, all right. So that's movie reviews of movies we haven't seen.
Mm.
Moving along.
This is a song by my friend Shiro Akaishi, who's from Vermont or Maine or something like that. He's this guy that's
the Japanese like, part of Vermont.
He's in this cult kind of thing. Called Kiboology. Have you ever heard of that?
And then they have to take the tube, put up your butt, and put the hot water in it. And then, you know,
I think so. I think that's it, yeah. They pump
the hot water up in your butt and they clean it out.
That's a hydrochlonic.
What'd you say?
Hydrology?
Oh, okay.
It's a cult, not a cleansing ritual.
I get cults and cleansing rituals confused all the time.
But anyway, they have this little kind of online band where people pretty much can, you know, if you're in the cult, you can contribute, you know, in any way or form. And it's called the Interrobang Cartel.
Sounds like a gang.
Well, it is kind of a gang.
Do they lop their like their fingers off to show devotion?
No, just their pinky toe. So anyway, this song is called Snowman something. I can't remember what it is. But
the snowman. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
That's a song about selling cocaine.
Okay, yeah. This one isn't.
Oh, okay. Now what a shame.
Snowman in the rain.
Okey-dokey, and that was...
Snowman in the Rain.
That sounded like if you, like, played a Kraftwerk song at slow speed.
Like a 45 at 30 speed.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, almost kind of like, something like Showroom Dummies or something like that.
At least it recalls something.
Kotova.
To me it sounds kind of like Yola Tango, but I don't know if you're...
I'm somewhat familiar.
Yeah.
It's very lo-fi, and so you were saying something interesting.
He actually had sent me a copy of that, and it didn't... It sounded even more lo-fi than that, so I offered to... remaster it for him. And
before we got to the song while you were out of the room, Rich was pointing out the sign I have on my wall. It says, "Shoplifting is stealing. It's not a prank, a joke, or a thrill. It's a crime. Even if it's your first offense, you could be punished with up to $2,000 in fines and 5 or more years in prison, plus a record that will haunt you for the rest of your life. We prosecute shoplifters. Please don't risk it." Now, the funny thing is, I stole that sign out of Walmart. Because I don't shoplift, but when I see stuff like that, I want to steal it. I don't know why. I'm weird that way. It's a rebel.
I've done it too. I stole something.
I actually
Yeah, but you stole a car.
I did not.
But they don't sell cars at Walmart.
But we figured it out. All you have to do is steal $4,000 worth of merchandise and then pay the $2,000 fine.
Yeah, yeah. And you get a free record.
Yeah. That'll haunt you for the rest of your life.
So it's like Disney's Sounds of the Haunted House or...
New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block, yeah.
I've never actually shoplifted in my whole life. Up until about 3 days ago.
What? Okay.
I went over to Jenny's house and had a little wine drinking party with her and Sarah. And we went to Kroger. And I bought a bag of those... Quakes, you know?
Yes, those are awesome because they got a sour cream and onions one that tastes awesome.
Ugh.
No, it's great. I love it.
Well, I like the caramel corn one.
Yeah, I know.
And they have a new one that's chocolate.
See, I saw those. Are they any good?
They're actually really good. I actually ate the whole bag in the store.
Oh, God.
And Jenny was like, "You should just put the bag back." And I'm like, "No, that's immoral." But I was kind of drunk. And by the time I got into the register, I was actually standing in line at the register. And out of just, like, habit, I had this empty bag in my hand, so I folded it up and put it in my pocket. And I did this right in front of the cashier, too.
Wow, so you're flaunting your theft.
Well, not really flaunting, because I didn't even realize I was doing it. So, and she didn't notice, so.
Yeah, well, the lesson here is if you're going to steal rice cake specialty items from Kroger or any other grocery store, that you should eat them in the store, then casually fold the bag up in front of the cashier. And you will get away scot-free.
As long as you're high on PCP.
Scotch should be free anyway.
Or wine. Merlot.
Merlot.
I was on Merlot high.
See, you clearly haven't seen Sideways to know that you're supposed to hate Merlot. Like all the trendy bastards who watched it and liked Merlot before the movie came out, now they hate it.
Actually, it might have been a Shiraz mix with something, but it tastes the same to me.
Ah.
Red's red.
I don't have a clue what the fuck you're talking about. I don't drink.
I used to drink Shiraz a lot, but then my teeth got red, and I was like, "Okay."
Dude, you should.
I've been hanging out in a club, red lips, but hey, bitch.
That'd be awesome, man. Go out and just scare a little kid, like, "You want to see something? I've been drinking blood." You know, like, ah! Run away. Okay, so we have a couple things we can do here.
This part where we talk about the evil Christians.
What?
We need some controversy, man.
Well, you want controversy? We can talk about the Canadian terrorists. For those of you who don't know, it's been kind of somewhat in the news, I guess. Yeah. Canada foiled a terrorist attack where they arrested, 17 terrorists. What happened was they basically stopped terrorism in its tracks without actually doing, oh, I don't know, wiretaps, searching people's library records.
What did they do?
Just regular police work. Well, that didn't infringe on the rights of the citizens, which is amazing. I just shocked that they were able to pull that off, you know? I mean, that's kind of surprising.
I'm still skeptical.
About what? The way they did
Whenever
it?
I hear anything like that in the news, I'm always skeptical.
Although the news hasn't reported that.
Well, just anything about what the story says. Like, I mean...
are you skeptical about? That they're actually terrorists? Or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole concept of catching a terrorist before he does anything is kind of dubious, because isn't terrorism defined by the act itself?
No, no. I mean, there's planning conspiracy, you know.
Well,
I have my feelings about that.
There's always a fine line between planning and just wishful thinking and fantasizing.
Yeah, say you got the plans to blow up the building. You got the bomb parts to blow up the building. You got the fertilizer, whatever the fuck you're going to use to blow up the building. Yep. You got the date circled on your calendar. I mean, how far do you... I mean, there's got to be a cutoff point which people would rationally...
I know, but it's just so hard to decide what that cutoff point is. Because I mean, if you do cross the line, then it really is getting into thought crime. And that's just really a really scary concept. On one side of the line, it might just be downloading plans for bombs off the internet or whatever. I mean...
And you could just be a bomb history enthusiast.
Or, I mean, who cares if you do like making bombs? I mean, if you like making bombs and setting them off on your own land or whatever.
You're going to hear later on in later podcasts, our friend Jackal has had a real affinity for creating explosives, and you can tell by the scars on his face.
And that's...
His nickname is Flash.
And the...
Because he blew his face off. This is a guy who took a CO2 cartridge in his hand and hit it with the hammer. The cartridge, I mean, not his hand. And then it blew up. Now, that's not the funny part. So you're laughing. That's not the funny part. The funny part is he actually had the nerve to be surprised that happened. Like, you know, like, whoa, I didn't expect that to happen. I expected a bunch of flowers to appear or something, you know. So anyway. Yeah. That's not a story we recorded either. We'll have to, next time we get them out there, we'll have to record that.
So,
well, that's a good time to lead in to our guest spot.
Okay.
So this is part one of a guest segment we have where we recorded like a couple hours of us talking with some friends. And we're going to play it now. And it's pretty entertaining. And I think you guys will laugh and have a good time. So
there's a lot of profanity.
Yeah, there's a lot of profanity. So SMP's mom might want to skip this part. Because these get really, I'm serious, these get really raunchy later on. So, check it out. This is with SMP, myself, Jackal, and Ghost. And they're talking about something that they saw as they were driving down the road, mainly. And you'll enjoy it. So, here we go.
Cool.
The guest spot.
Let me tell you what I'm doing so bad. You know those people that stand in front of the Planned Pregnancy place with the cross? You know, and they just stand there and, like, stare at people as they come out. I want to get a pentagram and just stand there and stand like, I'm with you, bro. And just stare at them. You know why? Not that I'm a Satanist, but because I want to see how they'll react. Like, I hate this, and I hate that. But it's like, well, why are you here? Well, we forget all the babies don't get a chance to be bad and go to hell. Because all babies return to heaven. They go to the Gulf of Souls. You know, we're losing the chance to, you know.
Kill them.
Yeah, we want them to do some bad shit. We want to pervert them and make them go straight to hell.
So the Satanists,
so you know,
minorities.
We're in the same boat here, guys. You know, and I'll spin my pentagram around and shit, and I'll sing. I'll just start spin and vomit and shit. I want to know what would happen. I want to see if they would put the cross down and attack me. That's
good. You think you could get a pro-life protester to attack you?
Fuck yeah. Dude, they're Baptists. No matter what they are, they're still fucking rednecks. They will put the cross down.
All this time, like, dude, sipping poison
and
handling snakes.
I'll make him so mad he will grow a set of denim overalls and a straw hat on the spot. They fucking punch me directly in my testicles. Because that's what they do.
Oh.
And then I'll throw it down, and they'll be like, oh, wait.
I remember that in Vacation Bible School.
They'll be like, oh, man, he's got a rosary. What is this? Oh, I was just playing. Quit punching me in the dick.
Well, they don't like Catholics either, I don't think.
So then he starts stomping me in the balls.
Jack Chick specifically has a few choice words about Catholics.
I'll bet that motherfucker does. And my grandma passes them things out, too.
Oh, God, I hate
them. And I'm like, no, grandma, no.
I love them.
I love the art.
Were you with me when Todd and I
and the absurd
called them
I
out
know,
on
it's,
the...
It's completely
when we went
ridiculous.
Up to those guys on First Friday and actually, like, called them out. Were you there?
Yeah, the little Mennonite chicks. The Mennonite chicks are hot.
No, were you there with me
How
and Tom?
How can you tell the guy skirts down to the ground?
No shit. We were... It's yesterday. Look at this shit. I had to stop the car and get out. And I took the picture.
Peculiar people.
CIA.
Vessels of Warfare is my favorite. Yes, they're like eight bikers with the same t-shirt.
No,
and somebody, one of them found the website for them. I went, and then Greg went out and got a picture with all of them standing in front of it.
Seriously?
I don't know on whose camera.
Peculiar people.
I like
it says,
the.
It says.
Hey, the CIA stands for Children in Action.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
sounds like a fucking kiddie porn.
Now, there should be a
like
comment.
Billy and Bob.
This vehicle may be occupied by Ye Visited Me Ministries, Soldiers of the Cross, Peculiar People, Vessels of Warfare, CIA, Stompers, Biker Billy and Bob, which sounds kind of gay.
No, no, they're Siamese twins. It's one biker.
Oh. They're seriously?
Are you?
I made that up.
I was like, oh my God, it's so awesome.
Biker Billy and Bob because it's one guy.
Bikes.
Yeah, they just get one.
It's
bike.
Like a sidecar, but it's like too close.
They take turns because one of us has to hang off and complain. Ah, our liver. You know.
How are they going to take turns if they switch around? One of them will be back.
No, one of them's just hanging off the side. With
yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Okay, so
now that the funny stuff is over.
There's a photo that goes along with that. You can't really appreciate that segment without seeing the photo. We're going to try to get it because
we'll get it.
We don't have a copy of it right now, so we're going to try to get it.
Yeah, and if you want to see it, just go to the podcast, shapelessmass.com/masscast002.
We're going to play a game that I've been talking about with Richard for years. And the idea is that it's kind of like Name That Tune, but it's Name That Scratch.
Name That Scratch.
And here it is. Name That Scratch. These are the rules of the game. SMP is going to be our scorekeeper. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to cue up a sound, and we're going to scratch it without actually playing it. And then the other person's got to guess what it is. You get 3 points. You get 1 point for guessing what the sound actually is. And then you get 2 points if you can name the original song it's from. If you can't do that, you get 1 point for naming a prominent song that samples it. Okay. The Holy Trinity is not allowed. The Holy Trinity being Fresh. And what from Buffalo Girls?
Ready, set, bam, begin.
Obviously, the scratch sound is yo. Yo.
Yo. Yes.
So is a good point for that.
I think it's originally Curtis Blow, but I don't know.
No.
Okay.
I do know what it's from.
Well, I know that it was used, first time I ever heard it used was in a song by the same name, Yo, by my favorite DJ, Magic Mike.
Yes.
On his face in the
game. Give the man 2 points. The original song, by the way, is Run DMC Beats to the Rhyme.
Is it?
Yeah. But I've got the 45 right here.
And begin.
Okay. I know what that is. That's the bird chirp. I couldn't tell you what the original is, but I do. Wait a minute. Oh. Was the original whistle?
I'm thinking it was.
Bugging out?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Ha ha! And it was sampled most prominently by DJ Jazzy Jeff. Oh, what was the name of that song? Make it sound like the bird! And Jazzy Jeff is like. And he's like making it chirp and stuff like that. I don't remember. It's not He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper. It's the other one. I've got it right here. I'm not going to cheat. So I'll just take the 3 points and go in the lead.
So you kind of remembered a song that it was in.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called, so I'm not going to count that.
I'll give you half a point. So you get 2.5 points.
2.5 points.
The strange thing about hip-hop samples is it's like you never really, really know when something's, from that particular record, like it really started from that record. So it's kind of like, okay, the first time it was really used, the first time, the main time, like a lot of stabs, like a certain bow, stab, say, oh, that's probably Kenny, that's from this song, but it's like, you know it didn't come from that song, came from this old break record.
Yeah, but some of them
it's like a vocal or something like that. But yeah.
Okay, so EVA's at 3.5 points. And Richie Rich is falling behind at 2 points.
And that actual sample goes like this. Damn you and your non-hamster style. I know, you're probably saying the same thing. That's really nerdy if you know what we're talking about. Okay, so I'm going to do mine now. And so this is Rich's turn to guess.
And begin.
So, there you go. You look like you know the answer to this one. Or maybe not.
I want to say it's Public Enemy. One, hoo-ha.
Yes. Got that right?
Yeah.
The song's called Public Enemy Number One.
Is that right?
That's what it is. That's the Public Enemy Number One. Public Enemy Number One. Wow, wow, wow,
wow, wow, wow, wow. So I've never heard that song in its entirety.
Really? Well, that's where that song, that's actually where it came from, too. That is original, because it's Chuck D.
Someone's going to scratch that someday.
Like what? Like my impression of the Public Enemy song? there's scratch records that, like, Peanut Butter Wolf put one out that's got, like, people saying stuff like, this stuff is really fresh. Oh. Beep. Ah. It's like, and I've heard people use it, too. That's the funny part. And so, can you name a song that sampled it?
Can I name the song that sampled it? Gee, a lot of songs that used it.
It only takes one.
I can think of one right off the top of my head.
Unless you don't want the point.
I know, of course, another Magic Mike song off the, actually it's off of the Vicious Bass. It's not Magic Mike, it's Vicious Bass. It's, it's called Magic Meets Lace.
Yeah. So, here it is in its entirety. So now Rich's turn to trick me with something really devious. What's the score at?
Well, let's see. Richard is at 6 after identifying 2 samples. And you're at 3.5 points. So as long as you can get 2.5 points here, you'll tie it up at least. But I have faith in you, I think.
So here comes Richie Rich with a sound to trick me.
And begin.
I know what that is. That is Get Down.
Yes.
I know like other parts of the song. Come on and get down. But I do not know the original. I'm sure I do. I just can't think of it right now. So, did I get the sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, geez. I've sampled that so many times. I can't.
Doesn't count.
Fuck you.
Disqualified.
Oh, disqualified.
Unrucky.
Unrucky. Unlucky. Okay, so song that samples it. Oh, jeez. I can't even think of anything. I know I can think of like 100 songs that sample it, but nothing's like popping straight into my mind, you devious bastard. More.
Okay.
Let's see. Jeez.
It's not
going to
get any easier.
Time is up.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to have to take it. At least I got the sample. I got the sound. Couldn't name.
You got to get a point.
I got a point.
Can you fill us in on the blanks here?
The original artist is Von Mason and crew, and the song is called Bounce Rock Skate.
Actually, I didn't know that. And so here's the original. Okay, so what's the score now, Mr.
All right.
Pierce?
After a disappointing round from EBA here, only capturing 1 point, that gives him a total of 4.5 points, which pales in comparison to Richie Rich's 6 points. So we're going to go with one more round here, and hopefully EBA can come back in the end and catch up, but we'll see how Richie does on this one.
Okay. Well, I gotta get more devious now, although he's going last, so I can't fuck him over too bad, because then he'll come back and stop me.
Either way, look at it this way.
It'd be fair if we just use the same record. I mean, that's the most classic scratch record, probably.
Okay, well, we're sticking with Toasted Marshmallows, so. Okay.
This point is a lot on there, yeah.
He's got to get 2 points or less to lose, though.
He's digging hard, too, looking over there. He's like, I want to find that motherfucker.
So are we all using the same scratch record on this?
The same record. It's Toasted Marshmallow Breaks.
And begin.
Okay. All right. And that is something famous, too.
Wait till I get there. I'm going to do fucking triplets. Okay, what was that?
No. You had plenty to go off of on that.
You want to hear it one more time?
And begin.
Oh, so now you know what it is. I gave you the second. I think it should be a deduction for...
that's what I thought it was the first time, but I was like, it's not on that record. And why would he play that? He's trying to get mean.
Well, I am behind.
Damn. Wait till I get up there.
So what's the...
He's going to burn me. What's the sound?
Obviously, it was Godzilla.
Yes. I didn't even think about it. That was a dumb move on my part to pick something where... The name of the sample pretty much told you.
Strategies.
Yeah.
Porn. So let me say, who sampled it?
Oh, I know that.
Do I count?
No.
I didn't count on mine.
Okay. So you let me win with a Godzilla sample. You're trying to hurt me and end up helping me.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, My Posse's on Broadway, remixed by DJ Skinny G. It was on the vinyl release.
It was.
And it's got that... And I love that sample built into that, too. That's a great use of that.
I get that mixed on vinyl.
Yeah, so... that's the first thing that pops to mind every time I hear that, is that's that... Because I like that better than the original. Yeah.
So, you were unable to think of a song that sampled it, huh? But you did recognize what sample was.
And the original source, which gives him 3 points.
But I am going to deduct him half point for having to use a lifeline. And
use the lifeline.
Hear the sample again.
You could have played the same thing that you recorded over. No.
So you got 2.5 points here. This is the final round. Let's see how many points EBA has to get to.
What's the score right now?
8.5 for Richie Rich. And 4.5
Oh, damn.
At EBA. So.
Rich has pretty much already won this one.
Well.
You have to
capture 4 points to at least tie the game.
This is Rich's turn, and so here we go. La la la.
Can he tie?
And begin.
Okay, I think I know what that is. It's one of two things going to happen here. Either I'm going to get 0 points, or I'm going to get all of them.
Ooh.
I think that is DJ by Rockmaster Scott. The call-in line song, request lines, name of the song.
The sample's right.
Okay. D-D-D-DJ, D-D-D-DJ, D-D-D-DJ. No, I know that it's it.
Yes.
You know the original? Oh, wait, you gotta play the sample. What's the original, then?
It's Africa Bambaataa. Looking for the perfect beat. DJ.
Okay. I think that's a sample, though. Okay, so, yeah. That was a sample, and what's the final score now?
All right. Well, you got 2 points for that last one, and that brought your total up to, 6.5 points.
And which, I lost due to Richard. I kind of figured I would.
Well, it was a... You know, a neck and neck race, though, I thought.
Yeah.
Was, you were up actually at the beginning. And,
yeah. So what's Richard's score?
He got lucky with that Public Enemy song, and his score was 8.5 points. So
he beat me by 2. That's not too bad.
That's a very honorable death.
All right, and that is Name That Scratch. So why don't we do my song next? And I'm just going to pull out something, I guess you'd say, from the virtual crates. This song is a personal favorite of mine as far as songs from people I know personally. And it kills two birds with one stone because it not only plays something that Rich has recorded, but also something that you have recorded, because it is DJ Richie Rich remixing Mulla Pussycats with a personal favorite called Papillon. And the thing I love about this track is that Rich actually samples Metallica's One into your song, and it works perfectly.
Yeah, man, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, I know, it's been a long time since probably either of you have heard it.
It's really awesome that you chose that.
So that's my choice, and so check it out, everybody. This is Sir Mildred Pierce and DJ Richie Rich.
Remember even making it to not need it. It reminds me why I always called you DJ when the levee breaks. That was the nickname I always called him. He sure loved that sample.
He accuses me of using Apache in every song.
Only you, other songs.
No, you played me like, I went over to your house one day and you played me like 20 songs and every single one of them had Apache in it. And I was like, after like the third or fourth, I was like, So you really like Apache, don't you?
Yeah, back then I didn't have a whole lot of, you know, good stuff to work off of. But
I'm sure what it was you went like did a whole bunch of songs. Although he wasn't sampling the beat, he was just sampling mainly was the snare. And it's got Apache has a very like distinct snare. When you hear it, you go, "Huh, that's Apache."
Yeah, but it wouldn't have Levee Breaks. That's a great sampling.
Oh yeah, no, he did. I think that's the only time I remember hearing.
Oh, you used it more than once. That's for sure.
I've used it quite a bit.
I have more of my old stuff than I do. It's funny to listen to, like, the, you say, oh, okay, that's what was going on in that time, you know?
Yeah.
All my stuff, you can tell when it's, like, from 94, because everybody's singing, biatch, biatch. every song is like, biatch, biatch.
So, you know, like Snoop Dogg had just gotten signed.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Which is funny, because Too Short did that, like, 10 years earlier, but Snoop Dogg made it catchy somehow.
Yeah, made a household and
anything.
Because Too Short would stick that in every song. Yeah. You'd be like, because it's Too Short. Biatch.
Too Short would just be like, biatch. And then Snoop was like, biatch.
The subtleties of the biatch. You gotta discern. Yeah, it's like fine wine, you know.
Yeah, you gotta
slosh around, examine it in the light, you know.
You have the Apache biatch. More of a biatch, and then Too Short's more of a biatch.
Hadn't quite morphed from bitch into biatch.
Yeah,
hearing you say it's weird.
The missing link.
Could you do that again? Can you say it again?
Which one, bitch or biatch?
Just can you give me like a really hearty biatch, please?
Biatch.
Yeah, the Apache.
We're talking about the rapper biatch.
Yeah,
because we were talking about the beat Apache earlier.
No,
throwing me off.
No. The rapper Apache, when he did his biatch, he was like biatch, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, biatch. And then Snoop Dogg kind of extended a little bit. And it wasn't just biatch; it was biatch.
But he was so. He also had his laid back ones where he was like biatch.
Yeah, but he extended it. It wasn't just biatch; it was biatch. And then Too Short, of course, was biatch.
He turned bitch into a two syllable word, and then everyone else is like mimicking ever since.
Anyways,
are we ever gonna stop talking about this?
And that was our little segment about biatch.
No, come on, that was funny.
I know, it was awesome.
Can you do it one more time, please?
Biatch. you want me to do a Snoop?
I want to hear your Snoop impression, yeah.
Biatch.
That was not Snoop. That was like.
It sounded more Bubba.
Yeah, it sounded. That was Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, biatch?
Dude,
oh shit.
This is totally unrelated, but it just came to mind. I want to go ahead and say it while I'm thinking about it. When I was working at Last Call, this is about a year and a half ago, they had some type of, what the hell was it? It was some type of band that came and played, and all these rednecks showed up. And one redneck had this t-shirt that said, "Whoop, there it is." And it was like, and it said, "Whoop, there it is," and it had an arrow on it, it was pointing down. Like they used to have back in the day, it's one of their shirts.
Yeah.
In the back, it said 95 South, like the group and everything.
Oh, so it was
an actual 95 South.
Wow.
Like, there it is.
And you put it on and wore it.
He was red. He didn't know what he had. It was like an old t-shirt like this, you know. He wouldn't tell it to me. I offered him $50 on the spot. I said, "Yeah, I'll give you the shirt that I'm wearing.
Bucks.
Or I'll get."
I have an original Athens Pizza House.
It's nostalgia.
I'll give you 50 cents for it.
It's, you know, because it's Nico's whatever now. And
I've got a Wild 105 shirt.
You'll give him money to take it from you. Wow.
It's
depreciated in value to the point that you actually have to give people money for
it. I've got a Wild 105 shirt at the house, and I've got a Nelly Yellow shirt at the house. It's yellow.
Have you seen the ones they sell now, though?
The Nelly Yellow shirts?
Yeah, the crazy thing is all these shirts, they sell them where the print is faded and has the cracks in it already.
Yeah, this looks like that. It looks just like it. It looks the same.
But it's real.
Yeah, it's just Nelly Yellow. And the color would be kind of pinkish and the little purple or whatever is in the logo.
Yeah, but yours is actually like all the wear and tear on it.
Yeah, on the back it says WBBQ, Big Balloon Flying, June 12th, 1980.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a time capsule.
I'm trying to lose a little weight so I can wear it.
26 years old.
Yeah, you tried to put it on for the photo shoot. It didn't fit. I remember that.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Anyway.
Anyway, so we're on to our last segment, and that is
Mildred Reviews the World.
So the first category is, I guess,
movie or TV show.
A movie or TV show.
The Michigan. I read the book, you know, before it was popular.
Okay.
Because I read his first book. It's most people don't know that's the second in a series.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to go ahead and give it 5 thumbs down because the guy who made it is a heathen and he shall burn! No, I'm just playing.
There's a lot of people bitching about that movie.
I know.
A lot of people didn't really like the movie. You know, people that liked the book, because that book has got a lot of, you know.
Well, that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Have you read the book?
The book was good. And
have you read the book, though?
I've never read a book.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah. I can't
I read magazines.
He buys them for the articles.
That's right.
He can't read the articles when the magazine is sideways.
But a lot of people have been saying, oh my god, the book was so much better, blah, blah. Yeah. And I don't understand all the controversy around the movie because, to me, I watched it and it was a movie and that's what it was. And people were saying,
well, I think a lot of
people
could
be true, so we don't like that. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people are too demanding when it comes to you know, adaptations, I think. People are
I think the controversy is more over the fact that people are, like, concerned that people who aren't quite sure whether it's true or not are going to take it as, for lack of a better phrase, by
the fact.
Well,
yeah, that's a whole separate controversy.
Well, no, what you're talking about, and that seems to be the forefront of the controversy. It's not the forefront of the controversy is not the book was inaccurate. Right. It's they're saying that Jesus has a son and you know, or daughter, or whatever. He slept with Mary Magdalene, and you know, blah blah blah. And I just read the movie. I haven't even seen it.
Yeah. Well, I think most people know the plot of the movie. You know, it was a well paced movie. It was a good mystery.
There's like some things that confuse me, like how the old guy get out of the trunk. And then the butler turned on him, but then the butler was on his on the side. That whole part just fucked me up.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend, she was like, well, you had to read the book and you understand it more. That shit like that, don't do something like that.
Yeah, in a movie. Come on, you have to read the book to understand it more? Well, they should put cliff notes in every single theater scene so that people are going, okay, right here.
That's always the danger when you're adapting.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I've seen the movie or read the book. I am going to see when it comes to cheapo theater because you know, I'm so offended as a Christian that he's going to burn in hell that I can't spend full price.
Okay. That's understandable.
I just play. I don't like spending full price on movies, so I always wait until the cheapo theater. And plus, you know, it's easier to get a ticket because the theaters aren't packed, so you're not sitting around like 13-year-olds going, what'd he say? Oh, and they start talking, you know, like repeat, like parroting back the lines and, you know.
Are you open to the idea, though?
Of what? The movie?
Of the premise.
It's honestly, as far as the whole controversy goes, it I consider it to be a work of fiction. I don't think it's that accurate. And so.
Well, the central premise is it's not like he came up with it. I mean, it's based on.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, me being a Christian, I can't, you know.
So you're one of them.
I have to be skeptical about it, which I'm skeptical about a lot of things anyway.
Well, I like the. I mean, I'm a big fan of Jesus.
His first album was awesome.
Yeah, all his albums.
And, you know, I do try to lead my life, you know, fairly Christ-like, because I do think he's a excellent person that should be.
When I go anywhere positive with this, I can see it now.
I just
voice their opinions. I'm going to voice mine. I get kicked out of the house. I'm just
kidding. It just doesn't ring true to me that he would have been like, you know, like celibate.
You guys are both practicing Catholics, so. You can't see the looks they're giving.
So anyway, the movie, we're not going to talk too much about the whole premise because we could do a whole show on that. But
one thing I wanted to point out, and this is I keep seeing this and hearing this from people, is that Tom Hanks didn't seem like he was giving his all, is what I've heard from people. That he gave a really, like, phoned-in performance.
I thought it fit the character in the book.
Well, see, maybe that's what it is. Is the character supposed to be like that?
I know,
kind of a stuffed shirt type of character?
I think actually, the performance was a lot different than what people were expecting to, and I think that only really points to just how good of an actor he is. I mean, it wasn't Forrest Gump up on the screen there. I mean, you cannot put the two together.
I understand that over there is a painting of Mona Lisa.
You can't compare Castaway to Forrest Gump either.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a volleyball with like a face drawn on and he's running around with in the movie?
He was.
So anyway, three thumbs up.
You have a hole cut with mouth in.
Richard just imitated Tom Hanks like fucking like Wilson. That's one of those.
Wilson!
He's got. He just did it again, but that time he yelled out, Wilson! Hey. Like it was a heat of passion, you know? Anyway, okay. Anyway. Enough of that shit.
So, yeah. So, anyway. I'll give it one thumbs down for having some generic quality, but...
Anyway. Okay.
So, 3-1.
Okay. Number 2.
A book. This is going to be hard for you since you never read one.
I wouldn't take that, man. I'd throw
something. He's the one that said it.
I don't just read books. I read shit.
Oh, here, we'll make it easy. The Da Vinci Code.
Do you want to do the Da Vinci Code?
No, it's not okay. That.
Battle Royale.
Are you talking about the manga?
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the better mangas out there. I've got pretty specific tastes in manga because I prefer like the more realistic stuff compared to stuff like with magic and ninjas and stuff like that.
And magic ninjas.
Battle Royale, I'm definitely going to give it 4. You know, it's not the best manga in the world, but it's got a really engrossing story. You know the premise, obviously, because you've seen the movie. You know, it's a bunch of kids get thrown onto a desert island and they have to kill each other off within 3 days. So basically that's the premise of it. Have you seen the movie though?
I don't know what the fuck a manga is.
A manga is a Japanese comic book.
It's a graphic novel, basically.
I lost all the time in my movie.
The biggest difference between the manga and the movie is that almost everybody that gets killed, they pretty much go into a backstory for each of those kids. And there's like 40 kids. So, I mean, it's stretching out into like 20 books, I think. It's probably the only manga that's brought me to tears because you do get so engrossed in these characters that when they get knocked off, it's, you know, it kind of pulls at the heartstrings. The drawings are probably some of the most detailed I've seen in a manga. Every death in the book, they really don't hold back. I mean, if somebody gets shot in the head, you're going to see brain bits flying out and eyeballs. They love poking the eyeballs out and, you know, like a freeze frame of somebody's eyeball.
The movie didn't even do that.
Well, I mean, it's easier to do that with a drawing. I mean, so definitely 4 thumbs up. And I honestly can't think of a reason to give a thumbs down. So,
okay. Moving along.
I think we're at music.
How about the new Paris Hilton single? What do you think about that?
did she really put out a single?
You ever heard?
Oh, you're fucking kidding me.
You glad to hear
it? Yeah.
Oh.
You can get a website and play it.
Partly do and partly don't.
We should finish the show on that.
No, God, no.
Come on, I mean,
no, I don't play it. I want people to listen to this podcast.
Okay, you can have a little.
I'm gonna
at least have to hear it.
Do you like it? It's pretty good.
What's she doing?
Thing.
Did she sing?
Is that a club thing?
Can she sing?
What you hear? Just open up.
All right.
Too many guys that
She might be talking about like Garth Brooks or something.
I can bring your country down.
It wasn't that bad. It's got kind of a dub kind of thing going on there, and I love dub.
A few people that heard it said it sounded kind of like Gwen Stefani in a way, like something she would do. Cosmo from 98.3 said it sounds a lot like the Tide Is High.
I haven't heard that
Blondie song.
Okay.
Oh.
But she did seem like she had a much better voice I expected.
I don't even know if I've ever even heard her talk. I mean, I think I've only seen pictures of her, so I mean...
She's more famous for her blowjob skills, I think. And to quote Sir Mildred Pierce, if you own a branch of hotels, is it really a bright idea to name your daughter after a major city that happens to have one? Because there really is a Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
There really is a Hilton in Paris. So,
Paris is more of a boy's name, anyway. I did like her voice, though. I mean,
well, see, on that note, I have a sneaky suspicion that that was recorded with about 1,000 punch-ins.
You can do miracles in the studio.
Yeah. And to quote Big Daddy Kane, the studio is like spandex. It makes any ass look good.
So I'm waiting for a nice dub remix of that, and I'll probably like it even more. I'll give it 3 thumbs up, and, you know, for being a pretty good song.
Better than
but
expected.
2 down for having too many generic qualities, and I'm sure it'll end up in a Disney movie or something.
It'll be on the radio for the next 6 months.
I am absolutely positive that after it disappears from the charts, it will never be heard again.
Most of the stuff on the chart I never hear in the first place.
Yeah, me neither.
So,
moving on.
Food?
Sushi.
Oh,
sushi. You asked the right person for that.
Seriously, sushi is probably, do you like sushi?
I eat it like 2 times a day.
Heck yes, man. Some people just don't dig the sushi for some reason.
I hate sushi. You missed it. My cousin came into town and he made vegan sushi.
Seriously?
Yes.
See, you know what the weird thing about sushi and living in the South is?
What?
You go to a sushi restaurant or a sushi bar or whatever, and you just see the weirdest people come in. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody that comes in, you can't pigeonhole a sushi lover. I mean, it could be a redneck guy wearing, you know, a wife beater or whatever. He comes in, he eats some sushi with you. And you always got something to talk about, too. Because you have that common bond. You're in the sushi club. It's like a secret club. You know, if I had to come up with, like, a top 10 list, I think sushi would definitely be on it. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it the full 5 thumbs up.
Wow.
So, what kind of rolls do you?
I'm going to give it 5 thumbs down because it's sushi.
So he's never even eaten sushi.
That is not true. You took me to a sushi place and I ate some of that fucking nasty ass okra sushi that you were like, here, try this. It's good. No. You kind of dip it in the fucking hot sauce that apparently made out of battery acid.
Like rolls, right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, so. I just do rolls. That's pretty much all I eat.
Yeah.
I don't actually eat the slab of, you know, raw fish.
Yeah. I like the unagi, which is the eel. At least they cook that. So.
See, first off, you shouldn't be eating eel.
Why?
Second off, you shouldn't be eating seaweed.
Seaweed tastes good. Gaijin.
I like the, what do they call it? The super crunchy.
Gringo.
Like, the crunch crab or something?
Yeah.
Chicken de madre gringo.
Well, I hate to know that. I gotta go.
Yeah, Jetman?
Yes. Choose a song? To let them play?
Yeah. Could be one of yours, could be anything, whatever. As long as he has it.
You know what? I have one that I think would be pretty good. It's that Imperial March song.
We'll come up with a catchy name.
I've got it called the Imperial
That's
March.
Fine.
So, it's the Imperial March by DJ Richie Rich.
Imperial Scratch. How about that?
Imperial Scratch. There we go. All right. Check it out.
Yes. Thank you. the dark side.
DJ Richie Rich with
Imperial Scratch.
Imperial March.
Or whatever scratch, you want to call it.
You call it. He doesn't Imperial even have a name. Right. Well, it's only Scratch at the end.
That was back in my drug days. I don't really remember doing that one either.
Now I am the master. Apache! Yeah. In that track.
The Apache break.
Just backing up what I was saying earlier. But I'm sorry. You said you used what in that?
The siren is a loop from Straight Outta Compton. So if you can hear it, then you're good. You spotted it. And yeah. You didn't spot it, you suck. I'm trying to think of when I made that. I'm thinking 97, maybe.
So you have to go, so we're going to finish out the podcast without you. But it's been real cool having you, and I hope you have you again. I hope you had a good time.
See you later, amigo. All right, later. Anyway, here's Mildred Reviews the World Part 2, and I'll play the jingle again.
Mildred Reviews the World.
A place.
A place.
Yes,
a place. Waffle House.
Waffle House.
And not so much as a restaurant as an atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. It's very yellow.
should go there.
It's a strange choice of colors. The chairs aren't that comfortable.
No.
Strange that, you know, it would be such a great place to just chill and hang out, you know.
Yeah.
For hours and hours, you know.
There's oftentimes a homeless man on site, you know, like it's a Waffle House requirement. Like the company says must be a homeless man on the premises at all times.
That was more of Huddle House. Huh.
Well, okay, not just Waffle House, but Huddle House, IHOP, the whole kind of 24-hour pancake and even Denny's to a certain extent.
Good times have to be had at Waffle House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's Waffle House. I'll give it 4 thumbs up for atmosphere and stuff like that. But I'll give it, you know, maybe 2 thumbs down for the food.
I want to give it 3 thumbs down because the food is okay. But 1 thumb down in addition to, like, your 2 thumbs down for a total of 3 because of the fact that they do not have hamburger buns, as if that is some difficult thing that every other one has, except the awful waffle.
Or pancakes. You have to really convince them to...
Another thing. I asked them to make me a peanut butter waffle, and they didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. That's some bizarre thing.
Do they have peanut butter?
Yeah.
Do they make it for you?
No.
Yeah. I'm sure if you ask them again, somebody will make it for you.
I was like, how can you not know what a peanut butter... What's so complicated about that? It's a waffle with peanut butter in it. Duh. You just substitute the peanut butter for the oil because there's a lot of oil in peanut
butter. That sounds good.
It is good. Okay. So we're also going to review a video game.
Yep.
Shadows of the Colossus.
Oh, wow. I thought it was an incredible game, and I think you really enjoyed watching me play it.
Yeah, I actually want to play it now.
It's probably the only video game I've ever felt really...
challenged
in? Not really challenged, but in something epic.
Hmm.
It seemed really epic. And there was one specific battle that really always stands out in my mind because I actually spent 2 hours nonstop battling one single beast. I mean, I didn't get killed the whole time. It just actually took me 2 hours to figure out what was going on. And I was engrossed the whole time because it kind of felt real. I mean, in real life, you know, if there were giant monsters that you had to kill like that, it theoretically could take you 2 hours, but...
A game of 16 bosses.
Yeah, nothing else in between other than...
And you never augment your weapons, either. You don't get, like, the Mega Sword, and, you know, like... Mm-hmm. It's not... It's got this Legend of Zelda quality to it, but it's nothing like Legend of Zelda. Yeah. It feels like if Legend of Zelda was a true story.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And the story is very sparse, too. It's very vague about what exactly is going on. leaves a lot to the imagination, I guess. And it's just the whole landscape, too.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Done. I mean, not just beautiful in the sense of, like, the graphics are very rich and very realistic. Some of the most realistic graphics I've ever seen for the PlayStation. There are parts I thought it looked like cutscenes that were not cutscenes. They looked like actual video. Yeah,
there's no cutscenes.
The forest where the beams of light are coming through the trees.
Oh, yeah.
And the water's moving. And I mean, that was just like, and there were no load scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no load times, there's no pause. I mean, the game was relatively seamless. You could kind of tell a little bit every once in a while, but.
I'll also say this, I think it's the only video game that's ever made me cry. Because there is a very, very sad moment in that game. It comes so sudden, you don't see it coming. And you feel guilty for having it happen because it's kind of your fault. You know.
Hmm.
I think it's probably in my top 10. So I'm gonna have to give it 5. I don't know if I want to give it any thumbs down. I can't really think of a good reason.
Okay.
Except maybe the ending.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you saw the ending.
No, I didn't.
There was a cheap kind of thing. So 5, and I'll give it 1. It's got a few things that's wrong with this.
It's not perfect, but it's nearly perfect.
It is nearly perfect. I think it'll stand up.
And so an event, I had something in mind for this too.
Okay.
The Boston Tea Party.
I'm not sure what to say about that. I think it's kind of overplayed for one thing.
Huh.
It's not that it's, I mean, it's a legend.
Yeah.
Of sorts. And it, you know, it's part of the American legend, and I'm
so
always
saying it didn't happen.
No, it definitely happened, but I'm always reminded of. You should really watch this. It's this 30-minute thing by Robert Wool called "Assume the Position," and he goes in and teaches a history class.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know who Robert Wool is. He's kind of a stand-up. So.
I'm a big fan of his. I mean, and he was awesome in Batman. Too.
You'll dig it. You'll
he
dig
was,
it.
He was, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do remember him in Batman.
Yeah. So
the big message behind his history lesson was that if the legend becomes fact, print the legend. Basically, what he's saying is, you know, it doesn't really matter if all of these little history lessons are actually in reality false or overplayed or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Because the fact that we pick up on him says a lot about it. So, I mean, it's like the whole idea of Columbus discovering that the world is round. You know, that wasn't something that anybody really believed in until somebody printed a book about it in the 1800s. You know, and you know, it's more about you know this idea of discovery and. Creating a new country and all that kind of stuff.
I think there was a move to deify Columbus to a certain extent, too.
Oh, in recent time. Yeah. I mean, not in recent time. I mean, but anyway, Boston Tea Party, yeah. I would have liked to have gone there. It sounded like fun. It's kind of a fraternity prank, really.
Yeah.
I mean, these white guys dressing up as Indians and...
And that, when that didn't work, they tried dressing up as a harbor and throwing tea into Indians. And then when that didn't work, they tried dressing up as tea and throwing Indians into the harbor.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, that's a joke I stole from Dave Barry.
Oh. I like the whole American Revolution thing.
Benjamin Franklin, who was one of the best presidents we've ever had.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe in the top 5.
Yes, I know Benjamin Franklin was not a president.
They should put him on the dollar bill.
Yeah. Instead of Elton John.
Yeah. Or Ronald Reagan.
Don't step on my joke.
I'd put Ronald Reagan on the 20. I'm really disappointed they haven't done that yet. 3 thumbs up.
Any thumbs down?
Kind of silly. Give it 1.
It is kind of silly.
But also...
Why Indians? They wanted... Because that kind of gives you the impression that they didn't want them to know...
Well,
that they did it. At the same time, you got the impression they wanted to know.
I almost wonder if there was kind of a deeper meaning to it. You know, the idea of independence and tying it in with the spirit of the Indian. I think historians often overlook just how influential Indian culture is on American culture.
Hmm.
I'll give it an extra thumbs up for being silly too.
Huh, cool. Okay. Number 9 is probably your favorite category, a British Royal.
Oh, yes.
I'm not going to dwell on, you know, all the drama of last week, so we're actually taking the next step from there, which is Queen Elizabeth.
The first one, right?
No. She had the boat named after her.
The QE2?
Just plague, dude. Jeez.
That was named after the other Elizabeth.
It's confusing because there are so many Queen Elizabeths. How many Queen Elizabeths were there?
The two.
Two?
Yeah. We're up to number 2 now.
So the one that is alive right now that had the boat named after her, I don't know if she's alive or not.
She's alive.
She.
You better hope she is because she is still queen.
Oh, really? Yes. I don't know. I'll keep track of that shit.
Well, yeah, but most people know who the queen is.
Why? Why would I know who the queen is? All I pay attention to is Tony Blair.
Okay.
Little scary. He's like a full sized munchkin. I'm serious. Like, I mean, he's a full sized person, but he looks like a munchkin, like out of scale. You know, like someone took a blow up brain and blew Tony Blair up to full size. He's just got this. He always looks evil. Something about him, just the way he is.
That's a bummer.
He just looks evil. He looks like any second, like whenever he's talking, he should be doing that silently whiplash, like folding his hands, like slowly rubbing them together type thing.
That's
like,
yeah. I never
like he should
that.
Be standing over like a woman tied to some railroad tracks, and he should have a big, thin Raleigh Fingers mustache. And a black trench coat.
So, what were we talking about?
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth, yes.
Not the boat.
Not the boat. She was just a really cool person. I always got the impression that she was probably kind of fun to hang out with, you know?
Yeah. Well, she certainly wasn't cutting people's heads off for not producing male.
Well, I mean, she had her moments. I mean, I think she killed off Mary Queen of Scots, and that always seemed kind of pointless to me and kind of mean. Because, I mean, Elizabeth never did produce an heir. So the Scottish lineage did end up inheriting the throne of England after her cutting off Mary Queen of Scots' head. I think she cut off her head. She definitely didn't burn her. She wasn't that cruel. The movie with Kate Blanchett, have you ever seen that?
I don't know. What's the movie called?
Elizabeth.
No.
It's really good, actually. I like, you know, costume dramas, period dramas anyway, and one about Elizabeth, and starring Kate Blanchett, who's just, you know, an awesome actress. She really pulls it off. And I like that they took a different angle than you probably would expect with it, because it's about the beginning of her reign, as opposed to the 4 years after that, which is what she's probably more known for.
Sure.
Yeah. Definitely, I'm going to give her a 4 thumbs up. Maybe 1 for the whole weird virgin queen thing. She foregone, you know, having any suitors for some weird reason. She decided she was married to England.
Maybe she was afraid of sex.
Well, she had been screwed over. She was pretty horny in her younger years, and she definitely had, you know, men, but, yeah. You know, one of them, you know, connived with the Earl of Norfolk, and she let him live, but none of the other conspirators, and she always looks kind of stuffy in the paintings, too, with those big collars. What's
they
up with
all
those?
Did!
Yeah.
You know, part of the reason why was she had to sit there for hours on end.
Well, yeah, but even then, it's like the clothes they adorn themselves in just look
when they great. Try to put their nicest, you know, clothes on to make an impression.
I know, they just look so weird, the clothes, back then.
They didn't look weird back then, I'm sure.
I'm sure they look regal to some people.
It doesn't look anywhere near as weird as anything you see Bjork in.
Yeah, and Bjork never looks very comfortable either.
Even when she's naked, she seems like she's uncomfortable.
Well, it's because she's got somebody's piercing her with she's thread got the, and yarn. And
she's got the licorice coming out of her nipples, so she's not comfortable. Yeah, so, she should see a doctor about that whole licorice nipple thing, because that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
The idea, concept, would be, and I actually thought of this too, and I was really curious, I thought this would be interesting... Egalitarianism.
Define that for me real quick.
the polar opposite of libertarianism.
Like and authoritarianism. If,
solidified by people such as Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, yeah. who may not say they're egalitarians, but they are. You know, the idea that government should control everything, but free price enterprise should still exist unless it starts to, you know, like be an unfair advantage, in which case it should be regulated.
Mm.
It's kind of this bizarre hodgepodge. It's
definitely not like a movement.
It's the least known of the four political spectrums.
Well, I mean, I never have any trouble calling people authoritarianism, and I think
it's not authoritarian.
It's similar. I mean, most authoritarians would be egalitarian, I would assume.
Oh, am I pronouncing it incorrectly?
Either way, I'm sure.
I don't know. I've never actually heard anybody say it before.
Ah.
So I don't know if I'm pronouncing it.
Yeah, so 5 thumbs down.
5 thumbs down. Wow, that was quick.
Next. Well, I'm not sure what to say about it other than, you know, some people are just very disrespectful to their fellow human beings.
Hmm.
You know.
Okay.
I have rights. Why don't you recognize that?
Okay. All right. Well, moving along to the wild card round. Debbie.
Debbie.
Yeah.
She's kind of funny looking.
It's, like I said, Debbie is our cat.
Yeah, she's kind of tore up, but, you know, I kind of like that about her because, you know, she's...
A lot of bowel damage.
Yeah.
Like, she's missing a fang, too. Have you noticed that?
I didn't notice that.
It's become more and more obvious to me over time. Mm-hmm. It's one of her upper fangs.
I'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
That's great. Should have named her Fang.
She's named after an episode of the C-Lab 2021. That's all I'll really say. And if she's not named after the character, she's named after...
Just keep this in mind. She is Cat Debbie.
Yeah, there you go.
She's not just Debbie. She's Cat Debbie.
And that's all you need to know.
As opposed to...
Yeah, certain other Debbies. Yeah.
She's a surprisingly affectionate cat. She didn't used to be. She's really grown to, you know, trust... The humans, seems like.
Yeah.
You know, we treat her pretty good. And
we picked her up as a stray.
Yeah.
We picked her up as a stray before you lived here, actually.
Yeah.
My old roommate. And she was not my cat. She was his cat. And he moved out. She sort of became my cat. So I've never owned a cat before.
Yeah. It's pretty weird, huh?
Yeah.
She really knows how to relax.
Yes,
like, you
does.
See her on the porch sometimes. You'll say, Debbie. Hey, Debbie. And she won't even move it. Sometimes I have to check, make sure she's not dead. So, she's just, she's her own little person.
And by person,
I mean
cat.
I think she's probably sentient. She's a sentient being.
So if you had to give her thumbs? You don't have to say about the thumbs down. The obvious.
Which one? Sometimes, like, takes a dump in the hallway and stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
she has stopped using her litter box. Just out of the blue, just stopped using it and has never used it since.
Yeah. But she knows that she prefers going outside. I mean,
yeah.
And so, if she can't make it outside, then, eh.
She lets it fly.
I can definitely tell that she doesn't want to. Like, sometimes when she has, like, shat in the hallway, I've heard her meowing and meowing and meowing.
Yeah.
Because I know she's trying to get my attention, but I just didn't pick up on the fact that that's what she wants. So I think she feels some remorse for doing that.
And she knows that's not something she's supposed to do. So it becomes like a last...
But if you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah.
So I'll give Debbie... I'm going to give her 4 thumbs up.
Okay.
She's a good pet. I've had a lot of pets.
Yeah.
So she's definitely better than Brother. You know, she hadn't chewed up any of my books, or...
Brother is your dog from...
Yeah.
From No?
I can't really think of a good reason to give her 1 thumbs down. I mean, she treats me pretty good. I think we have a good connection.
I would definitely give her 1 thumb down for not using the litter box. If she would just use the litter box again, she and I would get along so much more. But I had never actually been as close to a cat as I have to her.
Yeah.
I would give her maybe 3, just because I'm too new to cats. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, for a pet, she's definitely a 4. So out of everything in the universe, yeah, maybe 3. Because it is the wild card category.
Yeah.
So I do have to compare it against, you know, the planet Saturn. And
anyway, that was Mildred Reviews the World. So one last thing before we go is normally we would have shout-outs to a bunch of different people. But my this podcast is dedicated to the memory of my grandfather who died a couple days ago. I've lost track of how many heart problems he had had. So, I mean, we kept expecting him. We were surprised he lived as long as he did. He had a fatal heart aneurysm. He died peacefully in his sleep, surrounded by family, which is always a good way to go. And he was a good man. He was a minister and also a banker back when minister was not a job in and of itself. And just very, very intellectual, smart, you know, very responsible guy. He lived in a small town called Oskaloosa, Iowa, which it's more famous for producing fire hydrants, which are very distinct. When you see an Oskaloosa fire hydrant, you know it's different because it does not look like your traditional fire hydrant. It looks completely different. Wow, that's interesting stuff right there, ain't it?
I'm going to go look that up.
What is weird about Oskaloosa is I've been there many, many times because that's where my grandparents live. Well, he lived, and now it's just my grandmother. But that's my dad's hometown, and it looks like someone freeze-framed like the 1940s. You go downtown, it's got the gazebo in the middle of the town square. It has a town square. All the buildings look like they were built in the 1920s. They've been maintained up through. They look about 20 years old. They've been maintained perfectly since then. They do have a mall. They do have a Walmart, but they're all really subdued and kind of hidden away from the town itself. Until like 2 or 3 years ago, they did not allow MTV in their cable lineup, which I
just in time.
So that's I know I'm talking a lot about the town and not about him. I kind of associate the two because I went there so much, and it's so much a part of my memories of him because I had never really saw him anywhere else. He was a remarkable man, and he will be missed. So that's the shout out. Yeah, sorry to leave on such a down note.
Yeah, that's cool.
The website is podcast.shapelessmass.com. We actually have it up and running now, and we'll have stuff about the podcast as well as the cast itself.
If you want to go to this specific podcast, you can just go to that website /masscast002. That'll take you right to the content page for the podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
You can download the music tracks we talked about, maybe even the Paris Hilton one. You can see some pictures. You see a picture of Debbie. Among other things, other little treats and surprises.
I'm going to play this weird little email thing that we put together for it.
Hi, kids. Please remember to send all emails to SirMildredPierce@gmail.com and EBAOFVN@gmail.com. Thanks.
My website is popamericana.com, and you can get to all my other stuff there, like my music and my my weird art project, like bananadean.com, which I've been working on lately.
Okay, excellent. And so now we leave you with some more weird scratching noises recorded earlier today with DJ Richie Rich. Again, this is not me, this is DJ Richie Rich, and he has a completely different style. Check it out. I hope you guys like it.
Biatch.
Yeah,